Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in again. It is Sunday, October 30th at 1:02 p.m. This is a live stream started. My name is Jason Leeser. I'll be your host for today. And if this is working for you, please let us know in the comments and in the chat. Please tag a friend who loves tattoos. And welcome to Guy Aitchison's Reinventing the Tattoo Community, where tattooers, apprentices, collectors, and the curious are encouraged to join in these live streams, real world events, to share and inspire and ultimately create better art and tattoos together. With your help, we have evolved into a quality network of amazing live and on-demand tattoo and art shows that have all been receiving rave reviews. You can always find Reinventing the Tattoo in both of the app stores, the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, as well as our YouTube channel, our Roku channel, which has 12 to 15 channels going at any given time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as well as all of the major podcast directories, including Apple and Spotify. But no matter where you are watching live or on demand, you can always get the latest and greatest, most up-to-date information at www.reinventingthetattoo.com. You can always try it out for free. We've got a whole bunch of sample webinars from the Reinventing the Tattoo canon, some advice from Guy Aitchison about your unique goals, a comprehensive tattoo history course from Jay Brown. We also have a full event schedule with weekly and special event live stream details, as well, once again, as well as a link out to our Roku channel, which is streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We also offer a whole bunch of professional development courses as well that you can purchase on demand from over 20 world-class leading artists. Once again, if this is working for you, please let me know in the comments and in the chats, and please tag a friend who loves tattoos. Help us get the word out. We have a number of weekly staple shows that we always encourage people to tune into, starting on Sundays at 1 p.m. with me, Jason Leeser, for the Skill Building Sunday Drawing Group, where we go through and we work on developing some of our artistic skills that can help us with our tattoo career. This is all followed on Mondays at 9 a.m. with Drawing for Tattooers with James Wisdom, where we go through and we discuss some basic drawing techniques and strategies, and we really try to work on honing our artistic abilities. That's followed at 11 a.m. with the Tattoo Weekly Show hosted by Gabe Ripley, Lauren Gregory, and Jake Meeks from the Fireside Tattoo Network. That's followed on Mondays at 5 p.m. where we go through and we have the Let's Talk About Feelings show with Robbie Ripple. That's all followed on Mondays at 9 p.m. with a subscribers exclusive drawing group with Sandy McAndrew, who's actually stepping in for Guy for the next few shows. But same basic premise, we walk through different steps of the Reinventing the Tattoo canon, and we try to work on honing our skills in some of the things that Guy outlines in Reinventing the Tattoo. That's all followed on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. with the Tuesday Feels Drawing Group hosted by Ricardo Sertavant, a very good friend of mine, extremely talented artist and one hell of a tattooer as well. And that's followed on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. with the Tattoo Now Show, where we go through and discuss some more business aspects behind tattooing. And that's followed on Thursdays at 6 p.m. with the Tattoo Collecting 101 podcast hosted by Fawn Baker. Let's see. I'd like to go through and take a minute to thank some of our sponsors and some of the people that make this show happen. Starting off with worldtattooevents.com. As we all know, in this post-pandemic world, we know that things are still getting rescheduled like crazy and some things are still getting postponed. Maybe some of you are pretty curious about what tattoo events are coming up in your neck of the woods, or maybe you're traveling somewhere and you want to find out what kind of tattoo shows are going on in that area at that time. The best way that you can get the most up-to-date information from the largest, most comprehensive resource for tattoo events worldwide is to go to worldtattooevents.com. And next we have DLyze Pro, also known as Dermalyze in the rest of the world. Protect your art. If you're still using plastic wrap to wrap your tattoos, it's probably time to step your game up. DLyze Pro was developed by wound care specialists specifically designed to heal tattoos. You cannot go wrong with DLyze Pro. This is what your tattoos have been craving to heal with. And next we have TattooNow.com, technology for tattooers, the leading edge in professional development, management, and digital tools for tattooers of all levels. They're constantly keeping everything up to date, and they're constantly doing all different types of upgrades. They are competitive with any kind of CRM or mailing list or scheduling software that's currently out there. Go take a look at TattooNow.com for the apex and the leading edge in tattoo technology. And of course, this wouldn't be reinventing the tattoo without a very personal and professional thank you to the guy behind the curtains, Guy Aitchison. I can't thank you enough for what you have done for me personally and professionally. Go to GuyAitchison.com. He is the founder and inspiration behind reinventing the tattoo. At GuyAitchison.com, you can pick up a copy of his Biomech Encyclopedia, some of his DVDs. He's got some custom coil machines for sale, as well as some original oil paintings, a whole bunch of fine art prints, and many, many more, all available at GuyAitchison.com. Would also like to go through and thank two of our affiliates, The Apprenticeship Diaries with Amy Nichols, and the Fireside Tattoo Network with Jake Meeks. If you are interested in becoming a tattoo artist, take a look at The Apprenticeship Diaries. That will walk you through some of the good and the bad stories and help you get an idea of what to expect during an apprenticeship. If you're looking for just another source of information on tattooing, take a look at the Fireside Tattoo Network with Jake Meeks. There's a whole bunch of absolute gold on that channel. They have a podcast and a YouTube channel, and they cover all kinds of great information for tattoo artists. Once again, we ask that you please post positive reviews on the channel, especially if you like the show. Go through, leave us a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and let us know that we're doing things right. If you absolutely hate today's show, I'm sorry to hear that. But once again, hit that like and subscribe button. You know, at least this way you know when we're going to be broadcasting. Yeah. If you would like to host a Reinventing the Tattoo event or become a sponsor of the community, or maybe you're looking for a fine art or a tattoo critique, you can always email management@reinventingthetattoo.com, and we will be happy to get back to you just as soon as we possibly can. So we already have a couple of people in the Zoom today. I'm going to go through and switch my camera over. Awesome. That's good. And I'm going to ask everyone to unmute and start your videos. And we can close that. I've got a couple of interesting topics for today's show. Oh, we've got Creatures Cave beaming in live on the YouTube. Thanks for hanging out and watching. Oh, looks like someone didn't switch the branding off of the Needle Jig Northeast meetup, which Medusa and I were both just at over this past weekend. We headed up to Jiminy Peak up in the Berkshires up in Massachusetts and got to meet up with a whole bunch of really, really great artists. Got to watch some live oil painting take place super late at night. That was amazing. Got to listen to color saturation seminars from people like Renee Little. There was an absolute wonderful collection of artists and seminars going on this year at the Needle Jig Northeast meetup. And who knows, maybe we'll be doing a meetup coming to a town near you. Maybe it's in the plans, who knows? But that's why if you take a look at the branding down at the bottom right corner, that's exactly what you will be seeing. So I've got a couple of topics that I wanted to cover with everyone today. The first one is the importance of observing other artists' processes. Looks like we have Georgie B beaming in on the YouTube as well. Hey, Georgie. So I personally have a philosophy that everyone out there should go, even if you're crazy successful, even if, you know, you already know what you're doing and you already know what you like to do and you're already very proficient at doing it, do yourself a favor. Go and watch other artists work. Even if they don't work in the style that you like, that's okay. Watch them work, you know, start to finish on something and just watch it, how they develop things. And you'll never believe how it can impact the way that you do what you do. Maybe it can help improve your efficiency when you're tattooing. Maybe it can help improve your creative process. You never know until you go and observe another artist's process. It can help put things into perspective. You know, if you find an artist that you really admire and you notice that they're really spending a lot more time working on one aspect of any given design or painting over other aspects of design, ask them why. You know, maybe it'll help change your perspective on why you're spending so much time on B instead of A. So, but you never know unless you go and observe. And the next topic that I wanted to really kind of touch on in today's show is personal goal setting and developing our own process, right? And it's something that I've done this with a few other fairly new artists that might be a little lost and they might not exactly know what direction they want to go in the tattoo world. They know they want to do tattoos and they know they want to do awesome tattoos, and that's great. But my question is, or my point of this talking point is, set a goal. Figure out what it is that you really want to do. You know, whose work do you really admire? And I've done this exercise with a few people. And if anyone's interested in doing it with me, I'll be happy to point some things out to you. But go through and find 10 images. Doesn't matter where they're from. Could be Pinterest, Instagram, whatever. 10 images that you find that you are really, really attracted to. Could be any 10 images anywhere, whether it's a classic Renaissance painting or sculpture, whether it's landscape photography. Find 10 images that you are absolutely in love with them, right? And then try to find similarities between them, right? Maybe it's a color scheme. Maybe it's the way that things are rendered. Maybe it's a perspective or foreshortening or a contrast or whatever. Maybe it's a texture. Maybe it's, you know, something you've never seen before. Maybe it's an overlapping or a dual image. Maybe that's a common thread between all the images, right? But try to find commonalities between every single image that you picked out. Sometimes they're really, really subtle, right? You know, I remember going through this with another artist maybe a year ago, year and a half ago. And I noticed one thing that carried through from every single image, from the first one to the last one. And that was the color teal, right? Every image that they saw that they found themselves super attracted to had some form of the color teal in it, right? And I pointed that out. And I will say this, though, they did throw one picture in there in the mix that totally did not fit with anything else. It didn't fit with the style. It didn't fit with anything else that was existing in the rest of the images. And I pointed that out and I said, well, why did you include this? And they said, well, because I knew I was going to be going over this with you. And you know, I wanted to kind of have something in here that kind of reflected the things that I thought you would want to look at, right? And it's like, but that wasn't the assignment. That wasn't, you know, what's going on. you know, don't, this isn't about me. This is about helping you figure out what direction you want to head in. This has nothing to do with what I like. Right. And I've done this before with different people at different studios, you know, just looking around the studio at the decor, look at the way that pictures are framed and matted, look at what kinds of pictures they are, right? Look at that and try to find commonalities. You know, is there a big white border around every picture? Is it one single design or one single image isolated from everything else? There's all types of different factors that you can go through to really help narrow down what it is you really want to work on. So try to find commonalities in all of these things that you like. And I've got like a whole bunch of other things here too. Different bullet points like, so once you figure out like, okay, if this is the kind of stuff I want to do, what do I need to work on in order to achieve that, right? Say I want to do, I want to tattoo like Steve Moore, right? What am I going to have to work on? What skills am I going to have to develop? What am I going to have to build up? What am I going to have to become extremely proficient with in order to tattoo like Steve Moore, right? Those of you out there that are listening that don't know who Steve Moore is, go look him up. Instagram.com/getmoore, M-O-O-R-E, tattoos. He paints on skin and he has mastered color tattoos. The guy is on another level completely. But if I wanted to tattoo like that, what would I have to become proficient in, right? I would have to know my colors and my color palettes, my color wheel, like the back of my hand. I would have to know about chroma. I would have to know about hues. I would have to know how to saturate the skin completely, right? Because all of his color work is extremely saturated, very, very solid, silky smooth color blends, and it's flawless. You know, so I would have to know how to apply color in that manner. He does a lot of things with anatomy. I would have to know anatomy really, really well. You know, all of these tiny little things can all add up. And it's like, okay, now that you've identified what you would need to know in order to do that, start chipping away at it. Walk through one at a time. You can't skip steps. You can't skip over anything. There is no shortcut. You have to master each individual skill before you can attempt something like that. You know, and you have to go through and be prepared to make sacrifices to achieve that. You know, that means putting in extra time. That means drawing when you're sitting home at night instead of going out to a bar. That means working on paintings and styles that maybe you don't want to do. You know, and acknowledge that that's where the progress and advancement comes from, right? When you can sit back and say, okay, I'm at the studio from this time till this time. If I don't get it done, I don't get it done, whatever. That's not where progress comes in. Progress comes in when you're putting in the extra time, when you're joining in on Sundays and you're doing paintings that, you know, maybe you've got other things you'd rather be working on, but you know what? You've dedicated this time. It's going to push you. You know, that's going to be a great way to do it. And that's where that growth comes from. Have patience. Make sure that, you know, everything comes when it should. It's not going to happen overnight. Sometimes it'll take years, but it will happen eventually if you stick with it and you keep with it long enough. And be disciplined in your daily life. Learn how to say no without being a dick. You know, if your friends are, you know, harping on you about going out to a bar or, hey, let's go do this, let's go do that. And you know, you really need to work on something in order to advance in life. Politely decline. Say, hey, you know what? Maybe next time. You know, or let me know next week when you go out and maybe I'll be able to join you then. You know, I can't do it tonight. I'm sorry. Right. You would be surprised at how far that can go in just helping you grow. So yeah, that's my little spiel and little patience or little acknowledgement for today. I'm starting to get like notes together for these things, by the way. It's only been 100 episodes of me just kind of dicking around, but I'm starting to get more organized, guys. So hopefully that helps. Got Brad with us today. What's up, Brad? It's a dope flash sheet you got going on.
Hey, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
Thanks. Yeah, I just got in a little late. Had some friends pop up at my door right when I was getting set up.
Dude, isn't that the way it always happens?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's coming along awesome, man.
Thanks.
Now, what are you using to paint that with?
I'm using the Bombay Indian ink.
Dr. P.H. Martin's?
Yeah, that's the stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm working with.
It's really challenging for me, I find, because it's like you got to move really quickly and before it dries to kind of get the effect you want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the easiest stuff to work with, but I mean, that's kind of, to me, it's way better than working with like acrylics. Just because I, and any of you that have tuned in before know that I hate working in acrylic. I don't know why, I just don't like it. But I find that as long as you wet the paper enough in advance, it usually stays wet pretty long and you can usually play with it a little bit more, really kind of tease it out.
Okay, that's a good tip.
It's kind of one of the old school ways to paint flash. What they used to do is, and I still paint like this, so I can't really say it's an old school way. And I'll demonstrate this in just a second. Hopefully my image is coming through nice and clear. Grab this and this. Tear a paper towel. So like, for example, say I wanted to... I know exactly what parts I'm working on today.
Oh, that's cool.
I can zoom in a little bit more. And then I'll focus. That should be nice and crispy image. Right? That's coming through nice and clear.
Yeah, it looks good.
Cool. There we go. So this is kind of the way that I was always taught to paint with like paint, like liquid acrylic and watercolor flash. Take one brush that's a bit bigger, right? Sometimes I'll use something like this. It's a Pentel water pen, right? And you basically just fill the handle with water and then that acts like your reservoir, but you still need something to rinse with. So sometimes I'll use something like that, but get a decent amount of water on your brush itself and then pick the area that you want to paint inside and go ahead and just lay down a layer of water only in the areas where you want that paint to be. Okay. I don't know if it's coming through shiny at all, but you can kind of see a little bit of a discoloration here. That's where all the water is. Right. And then I'm going to go through and I've got these washes already kind of pre-set up. And then you go through anywhere where you want it to be the darkest, just take your actual paint and run it right along the edge. Right. And you'll see it kind of fading down and all that stuff. And you'll see these kind of like little spider webs coming down. Right. Take your water brush again. Just blend it out. It's like an old school spit shade technique, only not, I guess. And then once again, I'm going to go through with my water brush, wet the next area next to it. Maybe I'll do two more. But then this way, if I really wanted to, I could dry off my water brush with like a dry brush. Say I wanted to make this area a little bit lighter. With a dry brush, you can go back through and kind of soak up some of that water and help lift it off to give it a really nice gradient. And that'll still allow this wetter part to like flow down a little bit more, but it's going to keep this bottom part down over here a bit lighter because you're soaking up all the excess water to help prevent that paint from really moving down the paper too much.
That's awesome. Yeah, I haven't done the two brush technique before. That's a good tip.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little something that I forget who I was watching not too long ago. I think it was, believe it or not, I think it was Troy Temple. A few years back at the Asbury Park Tattoo Convention. And I saw him using a two brush technique while painting a whole door. Like a hollow core, like wooden door he was doing an ink wash painting on. And it was amazing. And he was sitting there and he had everything set up in a really weird way. He had like his one brush with paint here. And then his water brush was here. And you would just see him go through and he would lay down a little bit of paint and then he would switch brushes in the same hand and kind of wash it out and like taper it down. But the brushes he were using were gigantic. They were huge. Some of the biggest brushes I had ever seen. Like, I don't know how he held both of them in one hand. It was crazy. But he was using that technique. And I was like, I want to start trying that. It works pretty well.
Yeah, it's like chopsticks. Kind of got to get used to them, I guess.
Yeah, but I always found it's a great way to go through and kind of help control where your paint goes. So it's just the method that I've been using. But I also paint with watercolors and liquid acrylics like I would paint with oils. And I build up very, very thin glazes and layers. Now, obviously, you have to wait until it's completely dry, but because it does dry so quickly, it takes a lot less time than, waiting for an oil glaze to dry.
I haven't played with oils at all. I usually paint with acrylic. I'm just used to it.
See, I can't stand heavy body acrylics or medium body acrylics. I don't know. I just don't like them. They dry too fast. They're too opaque. And they're too thick. I can't get like nice little color blends. I can't get the same kind of gradients with those that I do with, say, a liquid acrylic. Maybe I'm just not using the right technique, but
it makes sense. I haven't tried anything else, so I have nothing to compare to.
Yeah. I mean, I was always, I can't say that. I will paint with acrylics every now and then, but whenever I do paint with acrylics, it's in a much more graphic kind of manner. It's okay. This area is red and it's red. This area is green and it's green. You know, I'm not getting any kind of gradients in there per se. Yet some people do. So, you know what? More power to them. But if I'm going to go with something that's very, it's got a lot of gradients and is very, very smooth, that's when I just switch over to oils. Takes a bit longer, but you get a really nice photo effect from building up all those glazes and layers. Yeah, where are you out of, Brad?
I'm in New Brunswick, Canada.
Oh, no shit. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm in Fredericton, the capital, I guess. Remind me where you guys are.
So actually, Medusa's probably closest to you. Medusa, pay attention. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking for the 10 photos that inspired me the most so I can send them to you so we can talk about it. I'm in Portland.
Yeah. I'm just outside Philadelphia. Right out in the Philly suburbs. And I absolutely love it out here because everything is like a 2 or 3 hour drive, tops. And you can be anywhere, be on the side of a mountain. Or you can be down at the beach.
That rules.
Yeah, one of these days Medusa is going to pack up and move out this way.
Yep, probably.
And then later on, a few years down the road, she's going to kick herself in the ass for doing so.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be like, people on the East Coast suck.
Dude, yeah. They're too fast. Everything's too fast on the East Coast.
We do have a very, very fast pace of life. And there is always something more to do. We're like, okay, cool. Like, that's done. What's next?
Yeah, I feel like that's just going to induce premature aging. Like, I just want to relax. I'm very West Coast mentality. I'm just like, dude, y'all just chill. Just vibe, man.
It's not like very fast in New Brunswick.
No.
Everything kind of starts in Montreal and slowly bleeds over here.
See, I loved Montreal though. I was just up there not too long ago. For my mother's 70th birthday. She went and did some like winery tours up there or something. And we met up and, you know, we hung out for like a night and then I went home. But I absolutely love Canada, and like every place I've ever been is just awesome. But it does have a little bit more of like a laid back kind of California vibe. But like, I swear there's gotta be something in the water up in Canada because all of you guys are insanely talented. Like you got there when it comes down to art and artistic talent, I think the only possible people. Oh, Georgie B said, sorry, I just saw the comment over on the YouTube. Georgie B said, Philly suburbs as well, Levittown. That's pretty awesome, man. Hit me up. Let me know. We'll get together and we'll do some collaborative painting one time. Creatures Cave made a comment. She's out in Ohio. But yeah, it's like every person I've met that is an artist up in Canada is just insanely talented. To like a ridiculous level too. So I'm a firm believer that there probably has to be something in the water. And as I was mentioning, I think the only place that can compare to that is Australia and New Zealand.
And I've never been.
Spain, there's a lot of really good artists in Spain. But yeah, I haven't been to Australia or New Zealand either, but I follow a ton of artists out there, and it's like every third person out there is just crushing everything. And it's like, damn it, I want to do that. But that's how we improve. You know, we just keep plugging away and pushing through and we'll get there. Takes time. It ain't going to happen overnight, as I mentioned before, but you know, we work hard enough. We'll get there.
So you said this is 100 episodes now?
No, we're getting there. This is 88, I believe.
That's awesome.
Yep. Yeah, I do believe this is episode 88.
Must be great to get drawing and doing this stuff like consistently every week.
You know, I find it's hard. That's part of the thing that I like about having this Sunday afternoon drawing group is I like to go through and this is my time to draw and paint for the stuff that I want to do. This is my dedicated time for this. So for me, it kind of forces me to sit back and say, okay, this is my time to go through and develop art skills, to work on things that I know I need to work on, to try to, you know, push myself into a different direction or to focus on different skills that, you know, maybe I wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to work on. It's my day for like self-advancement, I guess you could say. Which is, you know, it's important to have that because if we don't force ourselves to take a step back and create art for ourselves, do the stuff that we want to be doing, eventually we just get burnt out. You know, I've seen it happen to a lot of different people and I don't ever want to get to that place because burnout sucks. And a little bit more prominent. There we go. Now we're cooking. But yeah, that's why I love this job. It's tough, but you can't get any better than it.
I love tattooing. I'm not going to lie. Tattooing's great. But I think my dream job would be a professional nap taker.
Didn't I see something? Wasn't like NASA offering something like $20,000 to someone that could stay in bed for a month?
I can do that. I've done that.
I was going to say, yeah, that wouldn't even be a challenge for me. That would be like a Tuesday. Yeah. I could probably do that. If I really put my mind to it and I got super hyped up on caffeine beforehand, I could easily be down and out for a month straight. Not that I would want to do that because I don't like not being productive.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think you could handle that. I think you would just freak the fuck out because you would need to hustle, do something.
Yeah, I'd probably just be laying in bed like thinking, okay, when I get back up, I need to do this, I need to do that, and need to go over here and do this and take care of that.
See, I was bedridden with shingles for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. And, okay. So, besides the fact that it was the most painful experience in my entire fucking life, and I wouldn't wish that on, there's not a lot of people I would wish that on. I stayed in bed the whole time. I got jacked up on steroids and painkillers and was in bed for 6 weeks and that it was awesome. I mean, aside from the shingles part, being in bed for 6 weeks was awesome. And I swear, I'm not lazy. I just, I really like to rest.
See, I like to rest too, but I'm always torn every day when I wake up because it's like, do I want to move and get up and be productive? Or do I want to just like lay here for a while? Because like sometimes when I wake up, I don't want to move. Not that I don't have things to do. It's like, the sun is out. This is no good. I have to be active today. But then eventually after I get up and I get a cup of coffee and eat a good breakfast, I'm like, oh yeah, this isn't so bad.
Yeah, it's like after brushing your teeth, taking a shower, having a cup of coffee, you're just like, this is amazing. But before that,
Yeah, that's what I call the morning ritual, right? And we all have rituals that we do every day. You know, especially in the morning when we first wake up. You know, I don't know too many people out there that actually go through every day and change their routine every single day. Most of us have routines that we take whenever we wake up. But you know, it is what it is. I do try to vary my routine a little bit here and there, depending on situations, circumstances, and all that stuff. It's like, I know if I'm out at a show or an art retreat, like the Needle Jig Meetup, I know that my routine is going to be a little bit different, right? Because I don't know where to go and get coffee first thing in the morning. I don't know what I'm going to have for breakfast that day. So like first thing I usually try to do when I first wake up at a show or an art retreat is I'm immediately on my phone trying to say, okay, where can I get sustenance? I need something in my belly. You know, and then, okay, cool. Found food. Now I need to find coffee. Where is coffee located?
See, coffee is the first thing I go for me.
See, I've gotten so used to waking up and eating a full breakfast in the morning that like, it's hard for me to go without it now. First thing in the morning, I just get really, really cranky really, really quickly.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'm a coffee in the morning, coffee and protein shake. And then not a fan of breakfast. I just don't do it.
I love breakfast. I would have breakfast for lunch and dinner and everything in between.
Yeah. My breakfast is like breakfast, 6 cups of coffee.
Lemonsies and
that's what I do. Usually it's called intermittent fasting.
Yeah,
just coffee for until noon.
Yeah, like 6 cups of coffee. But the thing is, I do love breakfast foods, but I like them for dinner. 6 cups of coffee in the morning, and for dinner I'll have Eggo waffles.
Ooh, excellent choice.
Yeah, like blueberry waffles for dinner.
Eggo blueberry waffles? I didn't know Eggo made blueberry waffles.
They're the best.
They're the best kind for sure.
They really are. With a little bit of peanut butter and maple syrup on it. Oh.
Why am I just hearing about this now? Why did I miss the memo?
Where have you been?
I'm sorry. I just didn't know Eggo's made blueberry waffles.
Yeah. They do, and they're the best. All right, you need to run over to the store real quick. Show's over. He's got to go to the store.
Yeah, well, I know exactly where I'm heading after this, that's for sure.
Man, I bought a set of color pencils that I was super stoked to use, but they're good quality, but they're really waxy. And now I'm bummed.
Who makes them?
Faber-Castell.
Which series?
Gold Faber.
Okay, because I know they just came out with a new series that's not wax-based. It's actually oil-based.
Oh, yeah. That's what I need.
Yeah. And they apparently, like, when you use those, it's like painting with an oil pastel, only you're using it in colored pencil form.
See, that's what I need. I just feel like the pencil is, the less dense the quality of the color is. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not as bold. It's reflecting too much light.
Well, and that is the downside, right? Is that when you're working with a wax-based medium, you do develop that kind of like a, what's the name for it now? There's a specific name for that waxy buildup. I think it's called like a wax bloom. I think that's the term.
Is there a way to combat it? Like, can you smudge it with something?
I don't believe so.
I just want to do color pencils like Pooch.
What brand is he using?
I don't know.
Oh, I'll hit him up. I'll find out for you.
Okay. You're friends with Pooch?
I've met him a few times and talked to him.
I am so excited to, I'm going to go fangirl at his booth at the Puerto Rico convention. Yeah. But respectfully, not like, yeah, respectfully.
Oh, he's super chill too. If you go up to him and you're like, oh my God, I've always wanted to meet you. You are like the most amazing artist ever. He would probably just crack a grin ear to ear and start laughing and be like, awesome, come on back and watch me work.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I can't wait to meet him. That's going to be super fun.
Yeah, he's a really, really nice guy. Yeah, it's like, although I can't say that I've never done that, because I did that quite a bit when I was over in London, with like everyone, every booth I went past at London, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah, I imagine you would. That and Explorer, I imagine you would fangirl real hard.
So, and that was the weird thing about the Explorer conference, was that some of the people that were talking at the Explorer conference, guys like Mike Chambers, Ross Abbott, Bill Canales, I had met them before, right? So I didn't fanboy quite as hard when I met them. I'm not saying I didn't fanboy at all. I did pretty bad too. But like, since I had already met them, there, a lot of the mystique was like kind of taken out of it, I guess. Still, it's like they've become major influences on everything that I do. Like when I got to meet Dean Sacred from Sacred Tattoos in Auckland, New Zealand, that was like a life-altering event. That dude is just functioning on a higher level for sure. And he's been doing it for so long too. Like, he's one of the OG tattooers in New Zealand, which I have the ultimate respect for. Baby, stop eating plastic bags. Stop that. Sorry, my cat's munching on plastic grocery bags. But, you know, it's like, you know, it all comes back to the whole thing that I was trying to convey earlier, you know. Go out and meet these people. Ask them if you can watch them work, you know, and observe and take notes while they're working. You know, note the angle of their machine as they're color packing. you know, note their voltage. Note, you know, how quickly, if you can, and they're okay with it, see if you can take a quick little video of them color packing an area, you know, or like doing a super soft, subtle gray shaded area. That way you can take a look at their hand speed later on and you can be like, okay, slow everything down a little bit more and I got this, right?
You should show us your cat.
She tends to be camera shy occasionally, and I think today's one of the times. She's kind of all over the place. If she was a bit more just like still and calm, I would.
My cat's usually on the table whenever I'm trying to do something. So I'm surprised he hasn't come over here yet.
The day is still young. There's plenty of time for them to knock over the paint water. Yeah, I just want to know about people's pets. Sorry.
So I cat-proofed my little painting area, and I've got everything set up on like a 10 by 14 baking tray, right? Using one of those like Amazon tattoo ink trays with like the little rinse areas and the cartridge holders built in. I just use that for painting and it works like a dream because like there's no water cup for them to knock over.
Nice. Tell me more about your cats.
Why are you going to try to come and steal her?
No, I miss having a cat. I really, really, really miss having a cat. I'm not in a position where I can adopt a cat right now. That would be ill-wise of me. And so I am trying to vicariously live through other people that have cats. Like, I've got a couple of friends who I ask regularly, is like, can you send me cat pictures? Like, just so I can like get it out of my system, you know, so I don't impulsively go adopt a cat when I really shouldn't. But yeah, tell me about your cats. We're going to hijack the show and make it about your cat.
I mean, you can try to. I'll try to bring it back on topic eventually.
My cat's probably outside hunting right now, actually. But he does come in for his afternoon nap. He's pretty much a wild kitty. Pretends to want affection just enough to get us to refill his food for him. And then occasionally, if we're lucky, we'll get a snuggle from him when he wants it.
Yeah, if they're in the mood, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
but that also makes him, he's very adventurous, curious. So he grew up with my dog. And we were able to train the cat, leash train him. And
that's awesome.
We take him camping. We've taken him on some epic like camping trips and hikes because he's just learned to follow us and follow the dog around. So we took him to Grand Manan one year, which is like an island off the coast of New Brunswick. It's like 1 hour ferry. And he didn't like the ferry very much. He's very sensitive to noises. But then when we got on the hiking trails, he just like puts his little ears back and like motors down the trail. It's awesome.
Do any of you guys have paintings with little kitty paw prints on them?
You want to hear a funny story about that?
Yeah. Yes.
So last year at the Paradise BYOB, I had a big piece of paper set up to do some collaborative drawing and painting with Bruno and Ricardo and Kier, right? And I cut this big piece of paper out and had it taped up to a board. Like everyone was set and ready to go and like do all this collaborative painting. And we started working on it. And as we're developing the process, as we're going through and like shading in some of these bigger areas, we start to notice that the charcoal that we're using isn't adhering. to certain spots. And we're like, all right, well, we'll just keep going through and working over it until it, you know, turns out right. No, the reason why it wasn't adhering is because my cat had stepped on the paper. So there's paw prints literally like subtly hidden throughout these images.
So like the grease from the paw was on the paper.
Bingo.
That is super cute.
Yeah, fortunately it wasn't on every single one of them, but I don't know what I would have done if it had been. Cause like we went up there and we just wanted to make art because that's what we do.
That was a very fun time.
Yeah, that was a blast. Nick Mitchell was there. So was oh man, everyone was there. It was great. Renee Little was there. I forget what's his name. Runs Loose Screw Tattoo. Jesse Smith. Jesse Smith was there.
His seminar was fucking awesome. Christian Perez. So nice. So such encouraging.
An awesome dude. Yeah.
Like, I was so frustrated because it was my first time with oil and I had no idea what I was doing and all that. And he was so calm and like really helped me get through that. What the fuck is going on with this weird medium phase?
Yeah, and that's, you know, sometimes that's what it takes is just someone that's there that's worked in that medium for a long time. Just to sit down and be like, hey, it's not that scary. Just do this and this and you're fine.
Yeah. No, and it was just like oh my God, you're right. It just isn't scary. This is wonderful. And then I got addicted to oils.
Yeah, at any given time, I've got upwards of 3 or 4 oil paintings in the works. But it's like, you do one, do a glaze on it, let it dry. Do a glaze on another one, let it dry. Do a glaze on another one, let it dry. Go back to the first one, go back to the second one, then go back to the third one. But that's just the nature of oil painting.
Yeah, I like to work with acrylics. Sometimes I work so fast that I'll bring like a fan out and point it at my canvas so it dries faster and I can layer things faster.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite.
I've done that with a hairdryer, believe it or not, which works great. A little portable, foldable hairdryer for like travel can really help dry things super, super fast if you're working with acrylics and liquid acrylics and watercolors. Really does the trick.
Would you use that for oil too?
Mm-mm. I would take so long to hold a hairdryer on an oil painting. I mean, me personally, I don't think it would be practical, but then again, Da Vinci used to have assistants overnight that would take candles on a pulley system. And their whole job was to just move this pulley system up and down a wall as he was painting a fresco to dry the paint. So that he could come in later on after like a day or two and do another glaze over top of it. So how they didn't end up catching buildings on fire, I don't know, because at the time they were using a lot of linseed oil, which is highly flammable. So like getting open flame near that is kind of scary, but at least that's what I've heard he used to do. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's rumor going around the rumor mill. Which brush was I just using?
That'd be crazy to have like a whole team of servants fan drying your art.
Right.
Like,
it's like I can see like a team of people lined up with paper plates, right? Just trying to like fan one piece to get it to dry. Okay, this guy's arm is tired. Who's next? Man, I love this brush. I forgot I had it. And I absolutely remember why I loved it.
I'm trying to... this is one of my first times zooming in. So I use my phone to set up on like a small tripod to give you the video of what I'm doing. But at the angle is I can't see my screen. So what you guys are working on. So I set up my tablet so I can watch the live stream on YouTube. Yep. But it's like a full 3 minutes behind.
Oh,
it seems.
That's rough.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So I'll like look up at the screen and like see myself doing something that I did like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way things go sometimes and we have to adapt, but that's part of the process. Adaptation. Yeah, everyone's got a little bit of a different camera setup. I've got like a 3-camera setup going on just because I'm fancy.
I just watched your video there and your setup.
Yeah, I've got some, I've got a little bit of a background in like AV stuff. So it's something that I'm pretty used to doing. And I mean, I found a way to make things work using a couple of digital SLRs. And then I got a $100 overhead camera that's HDMI from Amazon. That's working like a dream come true because it's manual focus. And that streams out. That's actually what you have, what I'm doing all this overhead stuff with. Is that like cheapo $100 HDMI video camera. But it works nice. Great, man. Yeah, but since it's HDMI, you need like an HDMI switcher to switch the video inputs and all that stuff. So like, don't recommend it for people that aren't willing to put a couple $100 into a video setup, because the switcher alone is going to run you a little bit of money. But if you decide you want to go that route, let me know and I'll tell you exactly what to pick up.
Yeah, do you need to have this video switcher to be able to, like say if I wanted to attach another camera to my iPad and run the camera on the iPad and then have another camera pointed at my canvas? Is Zoom able to handle two camera inputs?
Zoom can, as long as you have the right software to turn one into a virtual camera. And there's software out there. If the cameras that you're using are USB input, there is software out there. You can pick up stuff like ManyCam, which works really, really well. And what the software does is goes through and it basically takes all of the camera inputs into this program and then outputs that video signal as a virtual webcam, so that way you can get like a multi-camera shoot and you can switch back and forth between them and all types of stuff like that. But I know ManyCam is for desktop and I don't know if they have, I think they have an iPad app, but I know it's not the same thing. It doesn't do the same thing.
Well, for my purposes, I guess I'm just occasionally joining, not really hosting or anything. So,
yeah. Yeah, for the occasional participant, what you got going on is just fine. I mean, then again, I do know some people that actually join in and they can join as long as you switch the name on the in Zoom. You can actually join using two different devices, and then you just keep the video on for one and the audio on for the other one.
That's a good idea. That might help the delay that's happening.
Yeah, I know our friend Ricardo, who hosts the Tuesday morning drawing group. It's the way he usually does it. I love painting. It is so much fun watching something come to life.
Yeah, I'm not used to talking to people while I'm painting. I mean, I'm not a full-time tattooer like you guys, so you guys probably have a lot more practice talking while you're creating things. And
well, it comes with the territory. You know, when you engage with a client regularly, you build that kind of a friendship and a relationship. And that's one way that they'll continue to come back. So I try to make it a good practice every now and then to, you know, instead of just being that guy that throws on headphones all the time and just says, yeah, I'm just going to zone out and do what I do. I do that sometimes if it's a super intricate piece, but I don't really prefer doing that. I like to have conversations to build that kind of client relationship. But sometimes if you really need ultimate focus on what you're doing, sometimes you have to throw on a headset and just be like, listen, I need ultimate focus on this. I'm sorry, but I'm really not trying to screw your tattoo up here. A lot of people respect that. So, but yeah, you develop skills in multitasking pretty quickly.
One of my regular clients always brings headphones, and because she's got studying and stuff to do, so she's usually watching videos on her phone from her online courses while she's getting tattooed, and I'll turn on some like reinventing the tattoo videos or something like that on my iPad to listen to as well. And we both just put on our headphones and get to work and say, see you later. And then, you know, whenever one of us raises our hands or taps the other person for a break or whatever is when we take the headphones off and it's like, sup, dude.
Yeah, I used to have a guy that would come in. He was in the middle of taking a doctorate program at a doctorate program online at a university. And that's what he would do. He'd come in and he'd be on like a Zoom with his, you know, basically the person that's guiding him through this doctoral program. And he would have full on Zoom meetings with people while in the chair getting tattooed.
That's hilarious.
I was like, dude, how do you maintain focus on like the conversations going on while getting tattooed? This guy was also in the military, so like he's learned how to do a lot of things all at once. So I don't know. It worked for him, but I know I couldn't do that shit for sure. I mean, I could if I absolutely had to, but like if I had an appointment with Steve Moore, but I had, you know, something super critical to do that day, I would find a way to do it. Just because like I'm not turning down an appointment with Steve Moore for anything. And if it's something else that was going on that I absolutely had to do, then I would find a way. But yeah,
I like to bring headphones when I'm getting tattooed sometimes.
Yeah,
if I don't like the music, or if just nice to have a distraction sometimes. And I don't know about I like to listen to like really heavy metal when I'm, if it's like a really painful tattooed area, kind of helps me. But I don't want to ask the artist to just blast like really heavy metal. Just kind of put my headphones on him.
So I'm the exact opposite. I do, whenever I'm getting tattooed, especially if it's on a more sensitive spot or a more painful area, and I know I'm going to need to zone out for it, I always go with classical, believe it or not. like very, very slow tempo classical. I, for some reason, just find that the slower pace and the slower tempo helps me regulate my breathing. And I always try to tell people, like, listen, this is what works for me. But I'm also an advocate that any music out there that you listen to while getting a more painful area tattooed that doesn't have lyrics, that's probably what you should be listening to. Just because I find personally that lyrics are very distracting.
So yeah, I was reading this book called This is Your Brain on Art, or it's like kind of like a fundamental like art textbook. I forget the title. The art side of your brain, or anyways, one of the principles of it is that your brain is like kind of divided into two ways of thinking. You have your numerical or vocal kind of thought patterns, and then you can have like a more visual art-centered type of thought. So in the book, it kind of was suggesting that if you listen to music with lyrics, that it might be more beneficial to listen to music without lyrics to help you kind of stay in the creative side of your brain. And the book was really focused on different drawing techniques, like drawing upside down or different.
I believe the book you're referring to is called Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent book. Highly recommend it for everyone. If you haven't read it, go get a copy of it. It is absolutely incredible. And especially if like you're new to working with art or you're trying something out, there's just a lot of like great life hacks in there for all different types of things to stay more focused on different things, especially when it comes down to working with art. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. Yeah, that is an excellent book. And I mean, I started using the classical, or you can always like throw on a YouTube meditation video that's like 6 hours long. Those are great as well. But I started doing that before I ever read Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain and found out how beneficial it was. And it was like, whoa. It was awesome.
Yeah. Like if you're trying to draw something from sight, like a portrait, and it's, I don't know, you can, for me, I feel like sometimes I just have the ability to tap in to and control my hand movements a lot better, and like really without thinking too hard or doing anything, I can just like draw something. But then if I'm, sometimes I have trouble kind of tapping into that like state of mind. So it was a really interesting read. That book kind of, you know, gave me a new way to think about how to engage that type of thought pattern and engage that flow state when I'm drawing.
Yeah, that flow state is critical too, especially, well, especially like if you're a tattoo artist and you're working on something new, like a new style or a new genre, or, you know, something crazy intricate, like mandala work that's super crazy intricate. Sometimes you have to zone out and you have to get into that flow state in order to even begin to comprehend what it is you're about to tackle. Because sometimes that stuff is just overly complex. And like you'll end up seeing like purple lines afterwards. It's happened to me before. But it can get really, really crazy and really intricate very, very quickly. So anytime I do anything like that, or if I'm stepping outside of my comfort zone with a tattoo, then I'll definitely utilize that trick. For sure.
Hey guys, I gotta get ready to head on out to work. So, bye.
Bye, Medusa. Give us a shout out. Tell us where you're beaming in from.
I am beaming in from Portland, Oregon. And you can find me at medusaslays.com or on Instagram at medusaslays with 3 S's at the end. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, but I don't know. There's something about achieving that flow state that I find super critical with a lot of different things. Probably also because I have a very, very difficult time focusing in general. So I require at least one cup of coffee, some nice classical music, or like I said, some of those like meditation videos on YouTube work great because they're very, very slow BPM. And you just kind of zone out and, you know, do your thing and find it helps.
Yeah, I've been trying some hip hop music, but without the lyrics. So it's just like some nice variation on beats, and
that should
kind of helps me.
That's a good idea. Maybe I'll try that next time.
Or my friend told me about, I don't listen to a lot of electronic music, but it's kind of cool. He recommended a few artists. I couldn't tell you them, but
yeah, I used to listen to electronica all the time back in college, and it was cool for a while. And then, it's not that I grew out of it. It's just, you know, my tastes changed and I wanted to start listening to other stuff. But every now and then I'll go back to it.
Yeah, I've been trying to get introduced to more new artists again, because I just find myself listening to the same artists and genres. No, I don't know. I'm onto this band right now. My friend just told me about, called Goose.
Goose. Goose is an interesting band name.
They're like a jam band from Kentucky, I guess.
Okay.
So they're pretty sweet.
And we'll definitely have to look into that.
I never really was like a fish head or that type of, never really listened to Fish that much, but they're Goose is kind of like one of those bands, like super jammy and really good live albums.
So this is a, what I just did a second ago is a perfect example of why I like to wetten the area first. I just overpainted on a small little area on this tiny little mercury dime down here and was able to sop everything up real quick using my paper towel so nice. That I didn't have any kind of, more or less so I didn't color outside the lines. So it's just one of the ways that like going through and utilizing that trick can help. Sorry to interject.
I just did that too.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens every now and then.
Dab it up.
Hit it real quick with the paper towel.
I got to try one of those pens. That looks awesome.
Oh, dude, it's so these water pens by Pentel, you can usually get them on Amazon. They come in a couple of different sizes. I used these and watercolor pencils, believe it or not, throughout college to go through and be able to paint in between classes. Because what you can do if you have a set of watercolor pencils is you can go through, and I used to take like a razor, like chip away at the wood, right? So that it was just a bit more of the actual like pigment coming out from the watercolor pencil. And I would take my brush, right? So imagine this is my watercolor pencil. And I would take my water brush and just run it right along the tip of the pencil, right? To pick up some of the pigment. And then I would put that down and paint a small area. And then I would wipe that off. And then I would go to a different color and I could build it up that way, blocking colors all. And it was like having a portable paint palette without needing like a rinse cup and a paper towel and a, you know, anything else like that. It was real quick, real easy, real clean. I could fold up my paper towel, put it right on top of the watercolor pencils, and boom, I was done. If I needed to pack up real quick. It was like a little life hack to go through and be able to paint on the go anytime with like minimal effort.
Yeah, that's cool. I used to have some watercolor pencils. They were pretty fun.
Yeah. That's a little bit of progress for today. Let me go through and hit this tiny little area again real quick.
Make
this.
What kind of paper do you use?
So I paint on all different types. My preferred is Arches Cold Press. I like its absorbency, and I like its texture. I do also paint on Arches Hot Press, 140 pound. My absolute favorite surface to paint on, believe it or not, is 300 pound Arches Cold Press. But that's also extremely expensive. So I try not to buy that all the time. Plus they don't really sell it in rolls. And I like to buy 5 foot tall rolls of paper at a time just because I screw up a lot of paintings. So it's nice to have a little bit of extra surface to work with. But yeah, I've painted on just about everything. So, and if I can't get my hands on Arches 300 pound, sometimes what I'll do is I'll take a piece of MDF, medium density fiber board, right? It's also like backing board or whatever. Pretty strong, pretty steady. It's got like a brown tone to it. But I'll take a piece of Arches 140 from a roll or whatever, and I'll actually soak it in a tub and then staple that down. So that as it dries, all of the paper contracts. So I don't get any warping. I don't get anything like that. It's super absorbent. You can also stretch it over like canvas stretcher bars. I've done that too. And that works really, really well. But then that way you won't ever experience any kind of warping, no matter how big of a wash you do with whatever amount of water you do. none of it's going to warp. It's just going to expand and then tighten up and then expand and then tighten up. But it's not. And when it gets super tight and it's thoroughly dry, you can tap on it and it sounds exactly like a drum. But it's a great surface to paint on. Highly recommend it. The only problem that you'll have if you're doing that over top of like canvas stretcher bars, is you have to be real careful about your hand pressure and your brush pressure, especially if you're going through and doing outlines with anything that's hard, because if you put too much pressure, you'll go straight through the paper.
Yeah.
Right. But if you have it on like that fiber board, you've got enough surface pressure, you can press pretty hard with like a micron or something and not have to worry about it.
I've never heard of anyone doing that before. Soaking and then.
Yeah. Soaking it and then stretching it. It's like, it's another little college hack that I had for painting on a much stiffer surface without having to go through and spend the money on a very, very heavy weight paper. And if you are a watercolor artist and you have not tried soaking paper and stretching it out, it is a bit of a process, but I can guarantee you, you will absolutely love it.
Yeah, I find my paper that I'm using kind of swells and warps a bit.
Yeah, so if you're encountering that, to prevent that, seriously, get a piece of paper that's like an inch or two bigger than, you know, the size that you want to paint on. I usually try to do 2 inches bigger total length and width. And then because you want to make sure that you have at least like a half inch to an inch margin on each side when you go to staple it down, especially if you're stretching it over bars, because you want to make sure that it goes over top of the lip, right? And then you staple it along the sides. If you're using a piece of particle board or like chipboard, like wood chipboard, which does work as well as long as you like sand it smooth first, you don't need quite as much of a margin on each side, but then that way you can staple it down and not have to worry about the actual surface area that you're painting on. You know, and then when you're done with the painting, you go through and you just trim off all the stapled edges. Works an absolute treat if you like to work with a lot of bigger, heavier washes, or if you start to experience things like this, where like part of it's not laying flat, you know, and I'm getting a little bit of warping with it. I mean, granted, I work in very, very thin layers and concentrated areas at a time. So it's not like it's going to warp a whole lot. But when the reason why it's warped here is because I did have a square masked off and I stained the background before I started painting. Right. So it's got a little bit of that like aged raw umber, like diluted raw umber to it. So that when I go back through and I want to do super bright white highlights, that will actually show through as a bright white, as opposed to going through and just leaving it with like the paper white. It's one way that I found to really push the contrast in things without going super and being super crazy anal about like making sure everything is perfect in the right spot, you know, and not overpainting areas and stuff like that. You know, if I did overpaint an area where I wanted a super bright white highlight to be like, it's kind of hard to see it, but areas like where the reflection is,
yeah,
on this screw, you know, it's not exactly perfectly even. I don't really care about that because I'm going to go back through with pure white after it and just hit the tip right where that bright white highlight is and really make that stand out.
Yeah, that's a good tip. I was kind of looking into that, people staining their flash sheets with coffee and things. And I thought it was cool also because it kind of mimics like skin tone.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can
see your flash and what it might actually look like.
So if you're going to do coffee, I recommend the darkest roast you can possibly find to use as a stain. Okay. Because it's going to give you that rich, like brown color. If you're going to use tea, which I've seen people do before, oversteep the tea, right? Warm water, let that tea bag sit in there. And you don't need a whole lot of water in there. And the less water you use, the darker of a stain you're going to get. Let that tea sit in there for like a solid 10, 15 minutes. So that tea is like ultra concentrated, ultra dark, looks like a really dark amber color, right? And then do your stain with that. Otherwise, it's going to be so light, it's going to be almost impossible to tell that it's stained at all. So just,
is it better to stain with like my inks or something?
If you're using a liquid acrylic, I usually recommend that and like a little atomizer pump spray bottle, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, you can use any kind of like a watercolor, like a liquid watercolor, but be forewarned. If the watercolor you're using isn't a permanent watercolor, it's going to lift. Okay. So you're going to be able, if you go through with like a heavy wash and then you hit it with a paper towel to like sop up certain parts of it, it's going to lift that background off as well.
I was wondering if that would happen.
Yeah.
The coffee.
It might coffee and tea stain. So that should be pretty permanent.
Okay.
Because it's actually staining the fibers of the paper.
Yeah. I used to use coffee, in university. I was like building some guitar boxes out of wood anyway. And I didn't want to go buy, I was using scrap wood anyway. I didn't want to buy stain. So I just like made some espresso and like stained my wood. But yep. Every time it like rained on my box, or it would leave like rain marks, and you know, I put a cup on it and it would leave a ring.
Oh yeah. So the trick to using that with wood is you have to do like a clear coat of acrylic over top of it once the stain is dry. If you do that, that acrylic's going to soak into the wood and hold that color there no matter what. You might have to do two or three coats of it, but it will actually keep that stain there a lot longer.
Thanks for all the tips. I'm learning so much here already.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem. That's kind of why I host these sessions. I like to share knowledge and have fun and paint with other people. And thank you for joining in today. But on that note, I'm probably going to get running because I have some prep work I have to do for a Halloween party that I'm going to this evening.
Nice.
So why don't you go through and tell us where people can find you and how to get a hold of you?
Well, I don't really have an artist page. I do have a jewelry page. Eye on the Moon on Instagram. Eye on the Moon, like eyeball. Brad awesome. From New Brunswick, Canada. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you very much for jumping in today, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for hosting these. It was a lot of fun.
Anytime. And anyone out there that's interested in reaching out to me for any reason, you can find me on Instagram at Philly Inc. PHILLYINK. I also host these drawing groups every Sunday at 1 p.m. You can also find me jumping in on a whole bunch of different drawing groups throughout the week. Usually try to get into James Wisdom's Monday morning group, as well as Ricardo Certavant's Tuesday morning group. So you can usually find me there. Thanks everyone for joining today. And I hope everyone is doing well. Keep those hands moving, keep everything going. And I will see everyone next week. Cheers.